No one really knows Ron Van Dam. He's an enigma, wrapped in a mystery, cloaked in secrets, stuffed in between two pieces of French toast encased in a pancake, smothered in cheese and deep-fried until golden brown, then duct-taped into a rusty toolbox, packed into a used Amazon shipping container with gaffer's tape, and mailed overnight to a bunker in Siberia where it's kept in a locked vault, whose combination is known only to a mute priest with a bad memory. So yeah, he's sort of a keeps-to-himself kind of guy. You're listening to that man of mystery, Ron Van Dam, on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, sure, why not?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Love you long time. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the one they refer to in the title of the damn thing. What are you doing? Oh, you're listening to the show? Oh, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. You know what I gotta do later? Do you know? Yeah, I'm going to do some gardening. I'm going to get some gardening gloves. Those are the gloves you use for gardening. Yeah, I have driving gloves, but I don't wear those to garden. I wear them to drive. I'm going to get a gardening glove, and I'm going to garden. I have to weed my flower bed. I have a flower bed where the flowers sleep. Flowers sleep in bed. They get more sleep than I do. I have to weed the garden. That's right. I have to weed it. So, this morning, I had the breakfast of champions. I had Wheaties. That's what you do when you're going to weed your garden. Eat Wheaties. Don't you know that? I have just wasted 2 minutes of your life. Thank you. You're welcome. My pleasure. It's my pleasure. You're welcome. That'll be enough theme music. Hey, the theme music, closing theme, opening theme, some of the incidental music, incidentally, by the lovely and talented Jason Shaw. Give it up. Give him a dollar. John Shanahan is your announcer, comedian, writes many of the comedy bits on the program. Fantastic man. Nicole Reed, British voice, beginning of the program, books many of the national interviews. She does things. She does things, man. And then there's me. I don't know what to tell you about that part of it. Thanks for being here. My God. Did you visit my website? Did you? Anybody want to visit my website for the weekend? It's lovely. It's sunny there. Visit my website. There's boating, canoeing, hiking, camping, all the things that I don't do on my website. It gives you some insight as to who I am. I'm making believe people care. That's what we do with our web. Do you have a website, by the way? Do you do something? Do you have a website? You have a Snapchat page? Do you snap your chat? Do you have Snapchat? I just opened up a Snapchat page. I don't know how you find me or what you would do with me when you did find me, but I'm now on Snapchat for no reason whatsoever. I don't know what it is. There's an avatar of me. So now I'm no longer a person. I am now represented by an avatar of myself, a robotic image of me, because my real image will not do. So I'm on the chat. Snapchat sounds like a cereal that nobody wants to eat. I'm on Instagram, which sounds like an oatmeal. What'd you have for breakfast? I had a bowl of Instagram. How do you feel? I don't know. Not too good. Snapchat, Instagram. Sound like a toddler trying to form words. I have a lot of Facebook pages, more than you do. I probably have more friends than you do, and I don't even know who they are. All I know is they're not my friends. They're people that I'm somewhat familiar with, and even that's a stretch. So I've got all those social media things going on, and yet I'm a lonely man. And that's the way I like it. I'm a lonely, lonely man. I don't understand it either. I really don't. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Social media, man, you know. That's how people feel like that they belong, that they are part of the social network. If I could only tell you how you're not. It's just unbelievable. I went on the Facebook thing yesterday because every once in a while I have to delete things. And I was on the Facebook thing, and there was a post. I don't even know what that means. There was a post. Somebody was saying, the day, I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was an inspirational thought. Oh, thank you for inspiring me at my lowest point in my life. Stop inspiring me. I don't need to be inspired. I've got some inspiration for you. How about that? Make today a day without sunshine. Every breath you take, I'll be watching you. Life is but a barrel of monkeys, and you are nothing but a monkey in a barrel. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Tomorrow is the second day of some of your life. The day after tomorrow is the third day of what was your life. Treat every day like it's a week. The hand that you put near your foot is only partially over your knees. A kind word to a person you don't know means nothing to anybody. The sun shines only where you have no shoes. Make yourself aware of the beauty that surrounds you, and nothing else matters except your tax return if you're running out of money. People that know you think that you're an idiot. I should work for Hallmark. That's the greeting card company. Because I am so full of inspirational thoughts. I don't sometimes know the difference between inspiration and perspiration. They're spelled differently, you say them a little differently, yet I don't know the difference between them. After I weed the gardens, after I do the weeding in my garden, in my flower bed, I'm going to actually check the air pressure in my tires. I know. When's the last time you checked your air pressure in your tires? Yeah, get to it. What if you're driving down the road and one of your tires has a little less pressure in it? Yeah, I don't want to be there either. I know. Don't even think about that. Next week, next Friday, not this Friday, no. A week from Friday, I'll be hitting my mileage mark in my car, and it will be time to get my oil changed. Ooh, oh baby. Oil changing is a big part of a car's life. Yeah, it is. And oil changing is very important for the health and satisfaction of your automobile. So I'm looking forward to it. I've already got my clothes picked out, my oil change clothes. I wear a nice pair of pants and a good-looking dress shirt, and I'm on my way to the oil change place because that's a week from Friday. Yeah. My car doesn't know it, so don't say anything. My car doesn't like to get its oil changed. It freaks out is what it does. It's like the car says, hey, what are you doing? You're draining my liquids. Don't worry about it. I'm going to put fresh liquids into you. Oh, no. No. Don't. Oh, no. Don't change my oil. I have to. I've progressed, you know, about 20 years ago, I was changing my oil every 3,000 miles. Now it's every 5,000 miles. Are the cars more efficient? No, I'm just lazier. I'm just lazy. I go to a place called, what is it? Oh, Valvoline, which is different than Vaseline. It's Valvoline. I used to go to Tech Lube. Do you ever hear of that place? But it's got the word lube in it. Not happy about that. So I've been to Valvoline a couple of times. They treat an oil change like it's some type of military exercise. It's unbelievable. They ask you to pull into one of their bays. You pull into this building that looks like a gigantic garage, and you pull in, and there's a person there telling me, "No, turn left, turn right, turn right, turn right." Okay, shut the engine down. And then a team of people come out of nowhere, and they start like, they surround me like I'm going to have a colonoscopy or something. And they surround me. There's a team leader to change oil. What has become of our society, ladies and gentlemen? What do you do for a living? I'm a team leader. We change oil. It's an oil change team leader that I am. Oh, my God. 4 years of college? Yeah, at least. The team leader comes to my window. I stay in the car, by the way. I don't have to get out of the car while they change my oil. And I kind of like the feeling of that, too, you know. And I sit in the driver's seat, and the team leader says, "Welcome to Valvoline." And after that, it's like they try to make me feel like I'm the king of the world. Stay in the car now. Can you put your brake lights on? Well, sure. Can you put your headlights on? I think I can. Okay, we're going to check. We're checking everything. We're checking things. We're checking everything. We're going to check your fluids. How are your fluids? I peed before I came here. No, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to change your we're going to look at your wiper fluid and your transmission fluid and your oil. Anything that has liquid in it, we're going to be looking at it right now. How's everything? Fine. How's the wife? Good. Thank you very much. You happy in life? You happy in life, Mr. Van Dam? No, not 100%. Oh, okay. Well, welcome to Valvoline. My name is Joe, and I'll be your team leader. We're going to be roasting marshmallows around the campfire in about 10 minutes, and we're going to go down to volleyball, and then it's a team swim. This won't take more than 5 minutes. Oh, okay, you're performing sexual acts, I assume. No, Ron, this time, Mr. Van Dam, please, no jokes while we're changing your oil. This is not a funny thing. We are changing your oil. It's for the life of your car, the life of your oil change. This is not funny, Mr. Van Dam, like your stupid radio show. This is a serious thing. We're changing your oil. Get that through your thick skull, you idiot. We're changing your oil. All right, fine. We'll be done in about 3 minutes. In the meantime, just sit there. All right, fine. And then when they're done, they present the bill to me, the invoice. Would you like to put that on your card or something? Sure, all right. That'll be $7,000, please. $7,000 for an oil change? Yeah, you got a 20% coupon. It's usually like $10,000. Oh, boy. This is for your car, Mr. Van Dam. Don't question me. I'm the team leader. It's just so much that's going on. So much is going on. You'll have to excuse me. I didn't mean to insult you, Joe, team leader. But so much is going on here. There's just so much. You have all your people surrounding me. And, oh, man, have you done the oil change? Didn't you feel it? No, not really. That's good. That's good that you didn't feel the oil change. And then the door opens up in front of me, like I'm being released from North Korea through some type of prisoner swap. The door opens, and they say, okay, we'll see you in about 5,000 miles. I'm Joe, your team leader. Happy trails to you, Mr. Van Dam. And I drive out, and the car feels better, but it's only psychological. They haven't done anything. They did actually put air in my tires as well. So I guess they do a lot of stuff. I'm kind of happy with them, despite this militaristic team leader kind of bullshit. But other than that, it was a wonderful experience. Let's recap. I'm going to weed my flower bed. I'm going to get my oil changed. I am so excited about everything. What am I most excited about, you may ask? Well, this is the end of August, as I understand it. Kids are going to be going back to school, which is where they belong. It's not the fact that they're getting an education. It's that I had to go to school for 12 years. So do you. Fair is fair. I went through it. You're going to go through it. If you decide to go to college, great. Right now, this gets you off the streets, and that is the purpose of the education. Gets you off the streets. Gives your parents a little break so they can go out and make money to put you through college, if that's what's going to happen to you. Or you could end up as a team leader. I don't know. And by the way, if you did end up as a team leader at an oil change facility, that's kind of impressive to me. It is. It is. You know why it is? Because I can't do that. I don't know how to change my oil. I don't even know where it is. I know it's in there somewhere in the car. Somewhere. I don't know where. In the glove compartment. I have no idea where the oil is. I can't even open a hood. Ron, can you pop the hood? I'm going to pop it. You want me to pop it? Yes. Pop the hood, please. I don't know how. There's a lever inside the car. I don't know where it is. Can you pop the hood for me? And then when you pop the hood, what the hell is that stuff underneath the big hood? I don't understand. I don't understand. I can't change oil. When I was really, really young, like 2 years old, and I was driving. I drove very young. When I went to the gas station where you get gas, I get gas all the time now. It has nothing to do with my car. Those are my eating habits. That's my problem. It has nothing to do with anything. When I go to the gas station when I was younger, decades ago, when you got gas, a guy came out from the little gas station building and actually pumped the gas for me. And then he checked my oil, and it was always a he. I'm sorry, it was. And the guy would always say, could you pop the hood for me, please? Again, I don't know what you're saying. And he would come over. He would take something out of the under the hood, and he'd walk over to the window, the driver's door window there, and he'd have a dipstick in his hand. And I always thought that was funny. I don't know why. I still don't. But a man approaching me with a dipstick and a handkerchief is just funny to me. I don't know. And he would show me that my oil was low or my oil is just fine, like I don't believe him. Look, you're down a quart. I know you don't believe me. I've brought the dipstick over with a rag. Actually, it's my handkerchief. And I'm showing you because you'll never believe this, but you need some oil. Now, he didn't change my oil. He just filled up the little thing with more oil. I don't know really what any of this means that I'm talking about. It's just what happened to me. I don't know where the dipstick is now because I've never been under the hood of my car since, I'd say 1990. I just haven't. There's been no reason to. And if I had to pop the hood and look under the hood, I'd see the engine and a lot of other stuff, and I wouldn't know what to do with it. And I'd probably just stand there and go, let's see, I don't know. The first thing I do, I guess, is check the dipstick, and I don't know where that is. Wouldn't it be interesting if people had dipsticks up their rear ends, up their behinds, and that was used to tell if you were down a quart of what? I don't know. But people don't have dipsticks. But I still find it humorous. Because what's funnier than the word dipstick? Nothing. Nothing is. I used to be a stand-up comedian for a short period of time because I found it to be most embarrassing. I would get on stage and people would stare at me, and that wasn't the feeling that I was really looking for. But now, if I did a stand-up routine, I would simply walk out onto the stage. People would applaud. They always applaud when you walk out on the stage. They applaud because you've done nothing. As soon as you start doing something, that's when it gets bad. But I'd walk out on stage and I'd say, "Hey, good evening, dipstick." And I don't know if they would laugh or not, but I'd say, "Hey, what's the matter with you? I just said dipstick. Isn't that funny?" This is why I don't do stand-up anymore. I sit down. What's the point? Why are people doing stand-up on stage? Get a chair. Do it sitting down. I guess it's to work off the nerves or to pace or something. I really have no idea. It's a form of exercise. I don't know what I'm doing. We have a guest joining us, so we're going to take a commercial break and we come back. That's exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to check my oil and everything's going to be fine. But until we do that, there's this.
Hey. This is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta La Musa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta La Nusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paducah.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajol.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Cline.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus, just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
Pet trend expert Christine Johnson joins us now. She is with the World Pet Association SVP of Events. And I understand you're in an interesting place right now. Is that true?
Yes, we are here at Super Zoo. It's the largest and most comprehensive trade show in North America for pet retailers.
Cool. you know, we have technology for humans and all kinds of products for humans. The pet world has opened up in a similar sense where, I mean, there's just tons of different things that we can do with our pets and for our pets. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. At the show here, we're welcoming over 20,000 pet professionals exploring a sold-out show floor of 300,000 square feet.
Wow.
We have over 1,100 exhibitors debuting over 1,000 new products. It's a huge industry. Americans spend about $100 billion on pet products every year. So, you know, this is where the pet community comes to discover the latest and greatest products that you'll see on your shelves in your pet stores in the coming year.
Yes, I think I am the person who spent $100 billion on pet products.
Me too.
So all they had to do was just survey me and they would have had the same result. So what exactly, I mean, I thought that it was taken as far as it can go. What is the trend now? What is hot?
Yeah, well, one of the trends that we're really seeing across the show floor is pet parents are treating their animals more and more like members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So one product that caught my eye was we have a Dog's Best Friend board game from Westpaw, which just debuted. It is a simple, silly, high-energy game where your dog is actually a player, so you can finally include your pet in family game night. But it's not all just fun and games here on the show floor.
Mm-hmm.
We also really care about our pets' health. So the food trends here at Super Zoo are echoing the trends that we're seeing in human food. Cleaner ingredient panels, fewer preservatives, more single ingredient products. Like I found these Barkin dog treats, which just launched at the show yesterday. They are single ingredient treats that have no artificial ingredients or preservatives,
mm-hmm.
which are perfect for dogs like mine that have allergies or food sensitivities.
Oh, yeah.
And then with fewer preservatives, we also need to be more mindful about food storage. So we're seeing more new products. Like I have a Cadet Pixie food container with me. It completely vacuum seals your dry food within the container, so you can get that preservative-free cat food without worrying that it's going to go bad.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they switch around a lot, and that's fine. And then the older food, it's like, oh, now I still have this. But you know what? I'm interested in pet technology. I mean, the technology for humans is through the roof. It's the same for pets. Does that go the same direction?
Absolutely. You know, AI, I feel like, is all anybody can talk about, and
yeah,
it's here at Super Zoo, too. We have an automatic cat feeder from PetKit that has a built-in camera with AI-powered video recording, which can sense when your cat is eating or playing in its field of view, and it can also automatically sense how much food is left in the tray, so it doesn't overfeed your cat and you don't, have those food waste issues.
Wow.
And then we also found a pet activity tracker from Honeywell, which, if you can believe it, it's like a Fitbit for your dog. It wears it like a collar. It tracks its activity levels, how many steps they've taken, how many calories they've burned each day. And it also has GPS technology in it, so you can set up a geofence that'll alert you if they ever leave your yard, which is great for their health and also for their safety.
Okay. Wow, that's almost going a little too far, but okay. I guess that's what products are. Sometimes they're like, whoa, why do I need that? I'll tell you what we do need for
Very
cats.
Very forward thinking.
Yeah. What we do need for cats and seems to be constantly developed are the litter boxes, because everybody hates to deal with that. And man, oh, yeah. Where are we on that particular level?
Yes, they are. There are several robotic cat litter boxes on the show floor this year that automatically, like, they look like washing machines, kind of almost, where they automatically scoop the poop away, and so you never have to worry about poop scooping again. Yeah,
that's. I'll get one of those, and I don't even have a cat. I don't even have a cat, and I want one of those things. Okay. Wow. What else is around you there?
Sure. Yeah. So one thing that's very top of mind for today's consumer is sustainability. So we're seeing the industry respond by adopting a lot more sustainable practices and introducing alternative proteins. One item that I discovered is this line of dog food and treats from Jiminy's, which are made with crickets and grub protein. Farming insects requires significantly less resources like land or water than traditional protein sources like beef or chicken. They generate fewer greenhouse gas emissions, and they're actually very nutritious for dogs. And then I also found another very mission-forward brand, Project Suds. They have a completely plastic-free line of hair and skincare products for dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. They don't use any single-use plastics. They reduce their packaging as much as possible, and they donate the ends of every batch of soap to their local community. So it's good for the pets and good for the world.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I get very concerned about any product that's produced out of the United States because the United States has some controls on these things. Other countries, maybe not so much. Have you found that that's a trend as well?
I'm not sure the percentages on the show floor. We have a lot of American-made products here. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of international companies here. Uh-huh. And, you know, when our retailers are exploring the show floor, they're able to sort by origin country for the products.
Good.
So if they're a retailer who really cares about Made in America or things like that, they're able to source those products for them.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is we want the healthiest things for our pets possible. And sometimes we don't know what that is. So yeah, that seems to be, and you did mention the stomach sensitive, situation with many pets, and that's like really at the forefront of most people's concerns. Wow. Must be crazy as a pet lover to be among all this stuff. Are you taking everything home?
I wish I could. My suitcase is only so big.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But yeah, there's a lot of pets around. It's really, really fun.
Good deal. Okay, where can we go for more information if we want to see what may be available now or in the future?
Absolutely. So especially for any pet professionals out there, please visit superzoo.org.
Superzoo.org. Sounds good. Hey, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Christine. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Yeah, I will. But until that time arrives, make it a great day, and I wish you peace.